Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticast. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled Paul's Experience of Resurrection Power. Paul's Experience of Resurrection Power. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 1 once again. And I'm going to be reading Paul's great prayer of thanksgiving for the Ephesians. And this prayer is very important for us to understand because herein is contained the great revelation that Paul desires for those believing ones of the church of Ephesus to receive regarding who they are and whose they are. Everything about Paul's letter to the Ephesians is uplifting and designed to have the believing ones understand the phenomenal position to which God has brought them. It is filled with the amazing revelations that God has vouchsafed to the apostle himself, and the apostle in turn wants to communicate what God has shown him to other believing ones, that their lives too may be blessed in a remarkable manner. God has indeed brought new life to believing ones. And Paul wants them to fully grasp what has taken place. This awareness will change their lives, change their focus, change their attention. This awareness will heal them of eyes on self, one of our greatest, if not the greatest, enemy in our lives and to our growth as believing ones, is eyes on self. And so Paul wants to heal us of that prejudice. Paul wants us to be released from that spiritual confinement. He has something greater to share with us, and that is the knowledge of Christ Jesus. In Isaiah 9, it is said of Christ Jesus, that he is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. When the angel of Yahweh appeared unto the parents of Samson to announce the supernatural birth of Samson, the parents wanted to know, the father wanted to know, the name of this one who had brought unto them this amazing revelation about the son that they were to have. And the angel of Yahweh said, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" It was indeed a miraculous event that had been told to them that would take place in their lives, brought by the pre-incarnate Christ. "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" The visitation of God had blessed their home, had blessed their lives, had now told them that they were going to have a son. And so indeed, Jesus is wonderful. It is not a title, it is one of his proper names. He is wonderful. It's not a title. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul elucidates for us what it means to be united in a vital union with the one who is wonderful, who has brought us out of death. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul would say that, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sin, has he made alive." Notice the tense. You who were dead, no longer. No longer. The divine hiatus has occurred. The spiritual exodus, as it were, has occurred out from death. And so we have been brought up and out of death, out of the realm of Thanatos. In the book of Acts, Thanatos is personalized by the Apostle Peter in his amazing sermon that was delivered on the day of Pentecost. Peter relates to those who had gathered at Jerusalem what God had accomplished through Christ. We read that in Acts 2:14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all of you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this, is that which was spoken by the prophet, by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Peter preaches about the Iesus. Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, where there is dynamesis, and wonders, that is, through amazing events, or Tarasi, events of amazement and wonder, Tarasi, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It is interesting that in verse 23, Peter states, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge. And so in the word foreknowledge in Greek is prognosis. Verse 24, whom God raised up, or whom God hath raised up, in aorist indicative active. The aorist means at a point in time an event occurred. The indicative means a statement of fact. The active voice means that the action is accomplished by the subject of the verb. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it or held under it. That his death could not hold him fast. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus speaks of his great victory over death. In Revelation 1:18, we read, I am, and notice the Exodus 3:14 formula, and the formula that is used in the amazing Gospel of John. The I Am formula continues. The I Am formula is used by the living and resurrected Jesus. I Am. Revelation 1:18. And these words are given to us. This formula is given to us, so that we might understand that he is God Almighty. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, again the I am formula, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. The word hell there should be Hades. It is important to grasp what has transpired within the cosmos according to the scriptures. And so in back to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul states in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom, that is Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. And revelation. This is the word apocalypsis that means to unveil or to disclose. Spirit of Sophia and revelation, or so that you may know. So that you may know him. In some versions it reads that you may know him better, and that is not in the original Greek. It is so that, purpose clause, that you may know him. And that is the essence of our discussion. And that is the essential element of our discussion. That you may know him. Paul wants the believing one to understand that it is when he or she is experiencing that vital connection that we do have with the living Christ, then our lives are subsequently transformed. Yes, indeed, we were brought up and out of bondage. But there must be healthy growth. There must be the desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is vital knowledge. This is life knowledge. This is knowledge that heals us. This is knowledge that heals our spirits. This is knowledge that transforms our personalities. This is knowledge that provides wonderful mental health. This is knowledge that sanctifies our personalities, that is, sets aside our personalities unto the Lord. I explained that we have positional sanctification as saints, as the hagios, as the saints of God. And that word saints has nothing to do with what is going on in our lives experientially. It has everything to do with our position in Christ. So we have a positional sanctification. And now, here within the cosmos, we experience the transformation called practical sanctification. That is the walk of the believer. That is how his life is ordered. Okay. And in the walk of faith means to order one's steps within the will of God, to order one's steps within the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you absolutely not fulfill the desires of flesh. We do not walk in the Spirit. We walk or order our behavior and the sparks or the flesh. He that sows in flesh shall of and out from the flesh reap corruption or destruction. He who sows in spirit show of and out from the Spirit, reap or receive in return life, Zoe, spiritual life, and peace, Irene, God's own peace, God's own life. We are vitally connected to the living Christ. We are healthy as believing ones when we abide in Him. We know. Jesus said, abide in me. That is, be at home in my will. Be at home in my will. Me know, abide. It is when we abide in Him that we experience spiritual prosperity in Christ. We learn to abide in Him. We learn to be at home in the divine will. We learn to settle down. And the reason why these things are so important for us to realize is because when these things begin happening, God will begin to relieve our personalities of the burdens we are carrying from the past, the burdens that have colored our personalities, the decisions that have colored our lives. God does His mighty work within our personalities that is setting us free. John chapter 11. When Jesus resuscitated Lazarus, because Lazarus was not resurrected, Lazarus was resuscitated. He was revitalized. Because at some point thereafter, Lazarus died. The resurrection body does not die. The resurrection body cannot die. So Lazarus was resuscitated. He was revitalized. And at some point he fell asleep in Jesus again. And so, but when Jesus stood before the grave of Lazarus, the tomb, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And we were told that Lazarus did step forth, but he was still bound by grave clothes. And so it is vitally important that we bring our will in line with the will of God for our lives so that God can begin to remove the grave clothes of our past. Though the grave clothes of death from our lives. Those things in the past that bind us, that burden us, that harass us, that keep us from peace. The bitterness. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, the word bitterness is pikria, and it literally means poison. Pikria, poison. And so there are events and experiences that we have in our lives that may have poisoned us to the point that we are no longer conscious of this. And we hurt ourselves and we hurt others because this past event, this past situation is very much alive in our hearts, very much controlling our actions, very much keeping us away from real life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And so the word root here is rizza, pikria, rizza. And defile means to stain as glass with color. So the personality is stained by the root. And notice that the root of bitterness, that which is deeply embedded within the soil of the personality, and that which is drawing life from us, that which has poisoned our lives to date. God wants to remove this from our hearts. Paul wants us to understand what God's resurrection power is about. Paul had this in his life, and God stopped him on the road to Damascus. As Paul was breathing out threats against, murderous threats against the church, dragging believing ones from their home, dragging them to receive trials that were not real trials, harassing the church. But God changed his life. God changed the bitterness that was in his heart. Paul knew resurrection power. He knew what God could do because he has seen this in his own life. He has experienced resurrection power in his own life. God had indeed set him free. Beloved, if you want to be set free today in your heart, God will do that for you. God will bless you in a marvelous way. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matacombs. Have a great day.